I told him.
He
blew his mind.
Good jam.
It's your Hannah Montana.
Or Jim and the Holograms.
Bam. All right.
Are you taking it
since you have that?
Here, why don't you? Okay. You're the host, technically, right?
I guess. All right. Hey, welcome to Now You're Playing with the podcast for me and Weston.
Hey,
look at us. We read the Nintendo Power magazines one volume at a time. Yeah, we're currently on volume 51. It is August 1993.
It is August 1993.
Yeah.
What happened? I guess.
Still not born. I keep saying. Yeah. Still not alive.
T-minus 3 years.
Still no nostalgia for this.
There's a possibility that you'll exist at this point.
I guess my older brother's probably popping up pretty soon. August. two more months and my older brother's alive.
I Googled what happened in August of 1993. And the first thing, the Great Flood of 1993 comes to a peak. Do you remember that? The Great Flood.
where was it?
Oh, it doesn't say, actually.
Like in the old world?
So interesting. Okay, that was August 1st. It just says the Great Flood of 1993. I'm getting brief headlines on Wikipedia 1993 in the United States.
Is this is the one where they made the big boat with the animals go on, right?
Ow. Wait, okay. This is actually, August 7th. Tropical storm Brett ravages Venezuela. 118 killed.
I guess that is the origin of my name. Maybe that name got that.
That's where came from.
A couple years early.
A lot of people don't know this, but when they started naming hurricanes and tropical storms, none of those names were in use. Now they're all in use.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. So for 2 days in August 7th, tropical storm Brett ravages Venezuela. 118 killed. August 8th. Tropical storm Brett ravages Venezuela, about 100 killed.
Oh,
so you made news twice.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Feeling a little bad sharing that. Hey, George, thanks for looking that up for us. Hey, everybody, George Soff is back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Hey.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah.
We spent all of our warm-up time talking about Brett's industry. He works in the button industry.
So yeah, I don't know.
The top of mind right now is just buttons.
That's what we were talking about.
Which does segue into video games, I guess, because there's
buttons
in
a controller.
Yeah. Controller in video games.
Yeah. And I feel like whenever I say I sell buttons, I have to, there's a question right away. It's like, what kind of buttons are there? Because I could sell just like plastic buttons that you'd put on a controller, right?
You could be hawking burned DVDs of Curious Case of Benjamin button.
Yeah, come to the boot of my car. I got a ton of buttons and it's just each one is a DVD case.
When my grandparents would come back from the Philippines, they would always bring back like bootleg DVDs.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I was, the two I remember specifically were Polar Express and then Jackie Chan's The Tuxedo, which I watched recently for the first time because I was like, I got to know what was worth contrabanding this. Nothing really. It's pretty bad.
Were you getting them like before the actual release happened?
So they were like in theaters, but they weren't available on DVD. This is 2002.
So this is like, these are camera boot, not boot camps, camera
bootleg.
Recording bootlegs, yes.
Yeah. But really good.
Like really clean.
Really clean. So, like you wouldn't know you were in a theater. Like it was a real like, oh, you felt like this was digitally ripped before people knew how to do that.
Interesting. I wonder what the art of that is.
I don't have the answer for that. Damn. As you look to me for the answer. I was simply a recipient of two DVDs.
I had a friend who would go to Venezuela and he would always come back with bootlegged DVDs as well. So it was always very special.
Wow, that's another way you're terrorizing Venezuela.
It feels like a good button, so maybe we should.
Clean.
The cover.
This is Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Street Fighter's back in the news because they're going to. This is the first of many iterations of Street Fighter 2. This one, you can play as the same character, first of all. And you can also play as the boss characters. So a bunch of like very basic Street Fighter things are getting added in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like if you were going to be stuck with a SNES version of Street Fighter 2, this feels like the first one that's acceptable and not like you got me Madden 98. Like why not this year's Madden?
Yeah.
Vega's on the cover. He looks all right.
Cool sword knuckles.
Yeah, he's got claw hand.
Claw hands. I'm in for that.
This is such an interesting way to I'm not Street Fighter versed, but it's such an interesting way to design a character. It feels like it's one too many things, like the snake tattoo, the long ponytail braid, and like the Wolverine claw. Like it's just like it's Unga Pachka.
What is
it? It means one too many. I stole that from the Doughboys podcast, but I guess it's like Ukrainian for one too many.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, that's definitely like in the storytelling world, you don't want to, you know, I don't want to use Save the Cat as an example, but Blake Snyder calls it double mumbo jumbo. So it's like if magic is real, don't also make spaceships real,
right?
Because that's too much.
But it's interesting how that works in like a Marvel landscape for whatever reason. Like magic and spaceships are also real in that world.
Yeah, and then you gotta Superman's really weak to like magic power. So like Solomon Grundy can beat up Superman. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Is that canon?
Yes.
And who's Solomon Grundy?
He's kind of a
magician.
He's not though. He's like a big zombie guy.
When you said Solomon Grundy, I was like, who's the guy who is or was married to Padma Lakshmi? Hold on.
The name also sounds like Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie.
It is him?
That is the person who was married to
the guy Padma who Lakshmi. Was attacked on stage, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh. Yep, that's exactly who I thought of.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is he like, you know how sometimes like how the Harlem Globetrotters will meet Scooby-Doo. Like they're like sometimes real life people exist in Marvel and DC. So that's what I thought you were talking about.
Like Kissinger appears in, I don't want to finish that joke.
Does he actually, or was it just a joke?
You know, they would put him in a thing, wouldn't they?
I kind of believe it. Yeah.
But that's basically what, cause Watchmen has like all of the Nixon stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like it's very satirical, like this very satirical version of Nixon and like that era.
I didn't watch it, but like,
Kissinger is in Watchmen. Like he literally is in Watchmen. Sorry. I just want to stop sending me an email. I know he's in the fucking comic.
I didn't watch DC's Legend of Tomorrow, but I've seen this clip cause it's like absurd and viral, but it is like a gorilla comes to like kill a college student. And then like the button at the end of the scene is that the college student is Barack Obama.
Yeah. He's traveling through time. That was a Gorilla Grodd.
Okay.
It's Legends of Tomorrow. I know this from watching animated DC shows like Justice League and Superman and Batman.
So that scene happens in live action and
oh, I've seen it. I think it's incredible. Like that show is so bizarre.
It's so interesting. Like, cause yeah, I'm not hyper versed in all that canon, but it is interesting that in the same form, ostensibly the same form of media, TV and movies, you like are playing the same song again. Like you are doing quite literally the same story, which I realize things are remade all the time, but like something about it feels redundant. I don't know. I don't know my thesis.
It seems crazier when it's live action as well. Something about a gorilla coming and killing a college student and it being Barack Obama. For some reason in live, I could buy it on a cartoon. I'm more okay with it. I
don't know. Yeah. Why.
They don't do that in the cartoon. Because that predates Barack Obama's presidency.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, he was still around. He was around when the comic was happening. he was just younger.
He's technically alive. Yeah.
Barack Obama is a real person. He existed before he was president.
That's true. It's weird that the only two real life figures put into comics is Barack Obama and Henry Kissinger.
Mailbox.
Yeah. Okay. So we're at the mailbox where people like send in letters to Nintendo Power. Sometimes there's a theme. There's not a theme for this one. But the one, it's some pretty wild shit.
There's some wild shit in here. Yeah.
If I could just call it the first one by David Landers from Richard.
I remember this letter from my youth.
So pretty much it's a guy saying he was playing a Game Boy game and he was frustrated at playing Final Fantasy because he didn't know what to do. And so he said he exited his semi truck because he's a truck driver and he was going to run over his Game Boy in fury of not knowing what to do. And he says when that happened, someone off the road, a savior kind of came up to him and said, oh, hey, what were you playing? What's going on? I can see you're frustrated. And then proceeded to give him tips on Final Fantasy and walked him through how to beat the game. And then they were both like older men talking about it. And then he proceeded to beat the game and asked the guy, he's like, how did you figure that out? He's like, oh, my kids helped me. And it was this I don't know if that's true, but this story was wild. And that's kind of it.
This one's definitely burned into my memory because I immediately was like, oh, right. He was going to run over his Game Boy with his truck.
Yeah. I was curious. George, I'm going to get you. You're very like, do you have a clean like temperature? Have you ever like played a video game and you were like, fuck, I want to throw this controller out of.
He's calling you chill.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
chill. Clean you, temperature.
Yeah. I was clean like, temperature.
What does this mean?
Hey, I'm a man of riddles. Have you ever had that moment? Have you ever had a moment where like, I just want to fucking throw this game
have
away,
I ever
out,
been
of,
like,
out of the window?
Frustrated
from a video game. At the point where like you've thought about breaking something.
Yeah. I'm sure I have. Like, I think, well, I would say broadly, I've had frustration at technology to that extent, like where fair, it's like, this fair. Is going too slow. And I can see projecting that further onto a video game, but it's like, and typically in a video game, it's like the device is working. I don't want to break the device because it's actually doing its job correctly. I'm the failure. So maybe I just internalize a lot of that shame more.
It's all internal. And,
yeah, I really bottle my emotions. I'm sort of working on that.
I would describe myself as...
clean temperature.
No. I get very upset at games. But I've gotten better. And I also don't consider myself the most unclean temperature at games.
Yeah, you're not like totally dirty temperature.
Yeah. The dirtiest temperature person I ever knew was my old college roommate who would play Counter-Strike. And he would go like... 30-0, like just incredible kill streak. And then one person would finally get him and he would scream, slam his controllers and close the game, turn off the computer.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right.
Where's he now?
That's a great question.
It's when I like hear about behaviors like that, where it's like, you were doing well, like that's okay. Like if he were going like 0-30, I'd be like, yeah, turn it off. But like to lose once, I'm like, okay, you're really fragile. I'm concerned for you to go outside.
We used to play Soul Calibur and he would play Killick, who's the bow staff guy with all the reach, and I would play Talum because it's Soul Calibur too, and she has like no reach but she's very fast, and we got to the point where nobody else could play us because we kicked the shit out of everybody but each other. And both of us, when we lost, would, you know, yell and throw the controller and like...
That feels like...
It's a very heightened apartment life.
But that feels like kind of sweet and intimate between the two. You're like, you sort of met your match.
Yeah.
And it's that's why it's interesting. You have no idea where he is now.
I just haven't talked to him in a couple of years. That's all.
Okay.
I broadly know like which part of the country he's in.
Okay. And like, do you know what he does for a living or?
No, I don't. So there is a second letter, physical letter that Nintendo received from the postal service that appeared in this magazine. This one is from a kid who calls himself James SNES Hannah.
The gall.
That's what I love about this one. In early Nintendo powers, people would do what James does here, and where they just rattle off all the cool shit they've done in games. But if you read what he's done here, he's not that good at games.
No, and he's like throwing the gauntlet down to whoever the Nintendo world champion is.
Yeah, I don't know that Jeff Hansen.
I don't know what that means, but he's like, he's claiming he's the best video game player of all time.
Yeah. Jeff Hansen would absolutely stomp this kid. And Nintendo's response kind of tracks with that. Cause they're like, we're pretty sure that Jeff would accept your challenge, but be warned, he's a machine. So they're kind of saying, it's like, yeah, kid, you might be okay at Mario Kart. Because he does say he has gold medals in everything except for the very last race in Mario Kart, which is, that's okay.
Reasonable. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but he's like, I've beat most of the level one worlds of Star Fox. And it's like, that's not good. I beat Link to the Past in 5 hours and only died under 10 times.
Yeah, he's like pretty average.
I am obsessed, though, with like giving him that nickname. It is like, I don't know if like a mid-level soccer player were like their nickname was soccer. like that's crazy.
And when I worked at Marble Slab Creamery, they called me Scoops. I mean, I called me Scoops.
Is that true?
No, but I should have done it.
I don't know why.
I did work at Marble Slab. Okay.
That's really funnier to be. If you're working at an ice cream place and you're also just like a mid-level employee whose name's Scoops.
Because like, I get that it's like when, like if you're bad and they call you that, it's like, oh, we get it. It's ironic. It's like when the big mobster, they call him Tiny.
Yeah.
But like, if you are so like average, it's so funny to give yourself a nickname. That's cool. Yeah.
And that weirdly makes, that's the special thing about you is their nickname now.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes you memorable.
We've given ourselves nicknames on the podcast before, haven't
we?
Should we do it again?
Weston Podcast.
Yeah. You call me Pods.
I'm Microphone Brett.
George the Guest. That one's a little less braggy and more factual.
The Guest.
Then I think just to rattle off the last one, I don't know if this is true. There's like a weird one. They sent a letter, but it's not like a letter. It's just like two pictures of two kids with dialogue bubbles.
Oh, right.
And it's claiming that one of the kids thought they like brought their NES in to be repaired. And they found out that the youngest child thought he needed to put quarters in it to start it.
Yeah, so it's like it was full of coins.
It's full of coins.
That's got toddler energy. Toddlers do that stuff.
No, stupid as hell. Never do that.
I mean, I prefer this to the all the stories that the internet brought us of people like opening up a console and it's just full of roaches.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that happens, unfortunately.
Roach console.
Why? Like, what about that is roach food?
I'm guessing it's more on them, right?
Yeah.
It's probably to go anywhere.
Their home is gross and the console's on the floor is probably part of it. But isn't there something like a roaches love warm circuit filled caverns?
Oh, I believe that, I guess. It's probably humid in there.
Yeah, I hate roaches.
It's pretty gross.
Not that like I'm sure you guys are big roach guys, but like I know that's not a hot take, but I really can't stand them.
Yeah,
they're gross.
I probably got one of the grossest roach stories, but I don't know if I even
go for it.
I opened a banana.
No,
to eat it, and there was a roach in the banana. It was one of the grossest things that ever happened to me.
I was playing. Let's call it Half-Life or Counter-Strike, because this would have been late 90s, early 2000s, at the family computer late at night, and I felt something hit my head, and it was a roach dropping from the ceiling.
Yeah. Well, we're all exchanging gross stories.
roach stories.
In a place I used to live, which was like sort of existing in squalor, it was like this home in like the hills of Silver Lake that was fully rotting, but... there was one point I like woke up in the middle of the night because dead baby spiders were falling on me from the ceiling.
Like multiple.
Yeah. I was like, what is
this?
I know.
Do you ever have those night terrors where you're like half awake and you see like the swarm of spiders descending onto you from the ceiling?
Yeah. Or like I feel it. Like I feel I have like bugs crawling over me under my.
So you don't see them. You feel them.
I feel it. It's sensational. Yeah. Phantom bug.
For me, it's definitely like a visual. And then I'm up and the lights are on.
Yeah.
It's happened a couple of times over the years now. So I'm just like, oh
yeah,
it's one of the, but for you, it was real.
Yeah. It feels real. And then like I can turn the lights on, but then I'm like, I just sleep above the covers after that point because it's like,
fuck that.
Like it feels like I'm trapped under there with them.
I have a lot of dreams where I actually my weirdly your vision, your sensory, I'm hearing because I hear like I'll be in my bed and it'll seem like I'm awake and I'll just hear like banging next to me or I'll hear someone like talking to me and it's not actually happening.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
It sucks. I hate it.
I like to think yours is real though. Like ours is a nightmare and you have like a guy in your house.
Yeah, that's just Kyle.
He's been following me around.
Hey, won't talk back to me. I keep trying to contact him. He's not addressing me.
Hey, you left your keys at the pool.
Yeah, he's just a nice guy.
It's a ghost that's trying to help you.
Okay.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Guys. All right, so this is a big write-up on Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And like the other Street Fighter features they've done, it's really funny to read this as somebody who's played some fighting games because it very much feels like, or like when they explained how Tetris works, because it's like, I know how Tetris works.
This feels like back in the day when like combos were like a secret. It was like yes. Why didn't you just tell me that you could like press left twice and then the punch button and then you shoot a fireball?
It really is. I was just rewatching the Steve Jobs introducing the iPhone video from 2007.
Hey, that's a good video.
It's like, no, we invented multi-touch. You just swipe your finger on the screen and everyone's like, ah! And it's just, and now I'm like, yeah, I know. the artwork in this one, I think is real. It reminds me of you know, like the airbrush art on the side of like county fair rides. That's like, it's Vin Diesel, but it's all wrong. Like in Germany or Thailand or something.
Yeah, it does feel like Ryu specifically, the poster child of this. He just looks like a little dweeb.
Yeah, his eyes are so weird.
Yeah,
they didn't get eyes or mouths right. It's sort of the thing that does like. But what like I whoever I can't think of a better phrase. But like when they were auditioning people to draw this, they're like, this guy's really good at muscles, but bad at everything else.
I would say he's okay at muscles.
I actually think he's pretty bad at muscles because he's inventing new muscles that these people have.
The Vega's arm, there is like a muscle ball right above his forearm. And I guess, is that supposed to be his elbow?
I think it's his elbow.
But how can you do that? Can you have your hand up, knuckles up, elbow up at the same time?
Yeah, it's for the listeners, I'm doing it. and by doing it, I mean not actually.
It's impossible. Here's the other thing that's weird about this. So this has a fighter breakdown, and it does the thing where it's like the strength ratings, which I remember as a kid being super into these, but like
I can get that. I liked to collect like Yu-Gi-Oh cards and just look at the stats.
This guy's got a seven in power.
That. Yeah. I'm with you. Something about numbers.
But they also have this thing where it's like in the corner, everybody has projected win percentages against everybody else. And the statistician in me wants to know where this data came from. Because they're saying, like, if you pick Guile, who also has weird eyes, and he's got a projected win percentage of 40% against Sagat and 30% against Vega. But why? Like, what is the, where are you getting this from? And did it come from their office where it's like Jim's really good at Blanca, so he always kicks the shit out of, you know, Pam, who plays Chun-Li. I don't know.
Or maybe they spent all their effort getting this data and not on the artist. They spent all the time doing that.
Which feels reasonable to me because I do feel like the typical reader of Nintendo Power is not about the art in this. Yeah. They are like, we want the information. It wouldn't be published.
We want the data. Honestly.
Nintendo Power isn't a zine in the way that maybe it's being treated as such on this podcast. This isn't poetry. This isn't like a personal essay submission.
I mean, that said, this level of art is usually reserved for not like one of the biggest games in the world at the time.
True.
So it's a little jarring. That's all I got. It's still Street Fighter 2 Turbo again. It is a Street Fighter 2 game. I would pick that over the first one because that game pretty quaint.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, at least you can play as the bosses.
Yeah, you can go in turbo mode. I don't know what that means.
The game runs faster.
Okay.
I do think it's interesting. Like I'm reading all their little personal background. I'm invested in the character work.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are like, oh, combat veteran, master of finesse. And then Zangief says, no more bears to wrestle.
Because he's a bear wrestler.
I'm picking that up.
He's wrestled every bear. That's actually an awesome.
He's wrestled.
Killed every bear in Russia.
Every bear is dead because of me. And now human's next.
What if they're still alive? He just beat them.
I was going to say, I think that's sillier to me that there's almost like a sportsmanship to wrestling the bears. And they're just like, we don't want to mess with him anymore.
If like a bear sees him, the bear bows at him.
He's got to wait 10 years for new bears to be born and grow up. I did hand you the Pikachu, but I can talk about this. Zombies ate my neighbors. You don't know anything about this game, do you?
Yeah, I don't know shit about it. Yeah, it's just, it's a fun vibe.
Yeah, it's kind of a horror-themed, top-down shooting game with these levels, and it's kind of silly. And it's two-player. I think it's split-screen. Nice.
Say no more.
This is like a, what is this, a LucasArts joint? Pretty sure it is. It's pretty well-regarded. I don't know. That's all I got to say.
I mean, it looks fun. There's like each level has like a name of like a horror movie, and it's like themed as if it's like a horror movie.
Revenge of Dr. Tongue.
And that's like a level. Mars needs cheerleaders, and you're like on a football.
Mars needs cheerleaders.
You're like fighting aliens.
And also, weirdly, there's like is this level surrounded by, it's a football field. That's what they call them. Surrounded by palm trees and a little oasis.
Yeah.
I had two jokes.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Okay. Revenge of Dr. Tongue. That's what I say when I'm about to kiss my girlfriend.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
And the other one under kids stuff, there's like it's all the different like weapons and like items you can use, and one's called Weed Eater. And I'm like, Weed Eater, more like my roommate.
Heyo.
Oh. All right. Do I have any jokes? Probably not, honestly. Blitz.
No, force one. Look who's shopping. More like my wife.
Bad baby. That was me as a baby. I was a bad baby.
Okay.
All right.
Zombie house party. No, thank you.
Jeez, consider my RSVP no.
Yeah. I think we checked off enough jokes for the whole episode at that point. I think we're good.
We did it, guys.
All right, plugs. What's everybody gonna plug?
This is the end of the episode. Alien 3. Okay, I guess I'll actually do this one. I don't know shit about the game, and I've never seen Aliens. I watched Alien 1 recently.
Finally.
It's a good movie.
Never you haven't watched it, Aliens yet.
I haven't watched Aliens yet. Have you watched any of the Aliens?
I haven't seen any of the Aliens.
Damn.
I think I get it. Yeah. The thing comes out of the chest, and it's freaky. Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I think you got it. Brett, you really should watch Aliens at some point. You're going to...
Alien 3 is bad, though, right?
Yeah, this one... So this was David Fincher's first movie. David Fincher of, like, Seven and Fight Club fame and all those. Panic Room.
Sure.
A technically perfect film.
Social Network.
I haven't gone back to watch that recently. Does it hold up?
Holds up.
Does it?
Yeah. But it's interesting. I don't know. I really did a Sorkin dive. And it's interesting, like, what holds, like, the pilot of West Wing holds up, but not
very good.
Not the rest of West Wing, like, parts of the rest of West Wing do, but most of it doesn't.
The politics feel really quaint.
They're really quaint. It's like, well, because it's not very political at the end of the day.
It's like a feel-good show, right?
It's a little bit wacky antics. It's like the pilot is the, like, POTUS fell off a bike. And it banks on you as the watcher not knowing that POTUS stands for President of the United States.
Which at the time...
was rare.
Yeah. Now everybody knows.
So like the twist doesn't work. But it's still not bad. Like it's still pithy. A Few Good Men holds up.
I also really liked A Few Good Men when I watched it.
Charlie Wilson's War. Bad.
Really?
Active. Like Philip Seymour Hoffman's good, but it's like... it's probably Sorkin's worst. It like Tom Hanks is like... weirdly very horny in it.
Oh. And I don't find that.
Yeah.
That movie in Polar Express.
It's bizarre. It's like really bizarre to watch him like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think I want that either.
Well, the Alien 3 Super Nintendo game. this one, honestly, all I have to say about this, the game's all right. It uses that kind of semi-real digitized look. That 16-bit look, so it kind of looks realistic. And I always found it really satisfying to run around in. The controls are really weird and loose, where it like jumping is like you launch Ripley sideways, like across the screen. It just feels weird. That's all. I think it looks good.
All right.
Centerfold. Rock and roll racing. This doesn't look like much, but this is actually a well-regarded, well-remembered game.
Is there a good soundtrack to it? Are you like racing to rock and roll music?
I believe you are, actually. I believe that's one of the conceits is they do covers of like kind of hair metal rock and roll as the soundtrack. This is also...
Okay, I'm in. I'm turning around then.
This is a Blizzard game, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever in Synapse. Yeah, Rock and Roll Racing is them.
I'm a big fan of the Rock and Roller Coaster in Disney. You guys know that one? The Aerosmith themed roller coaster.
Oh yeah. I love the pre-video of it. Cause it's that classic, like, you guys need to help me. Like
it's like Revolution X, the Aerosmith video game.
It is like a little like that. I can't remember what you're helping him with.
It's the
like,
children, orphans.
I think it is. Yeah. Because like the only part I really hang on is like me and my friends, there's a part where I guess it's a call and response and you are answering a solution to the problem. And he goes, wait a minute. Love that idea.
Wait, what theme park is this at?
This is Disney World.
Disney World.
It's not at land. It's not California Adventures, Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah, it's in the Hollywood one, whatever that's called nowadays.
I've been to Downtown Disney there. I never actually went to Disney World.
Did you go to Epcot?
No.
Epcot rocks.
Epcot's awesome.
Epcot as a grown-up, awesome. Epcot as a kid sucks.
What's up?
I feel like Epcot as a kid is like boring because it's like not as exciting.
I was like really into the like invention aspect of it.
Oh, though. Like the future. Like the whatever, something of tomorrow.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff is like, here's the future. And as a kid, I really got me.
It is it's a vibe. I'll defend Epcot. I haven't been in like many, many years, but I went as an adult and I was like, this place rocks.
It's like, it has like the most distinct and unusual, like it's like just a cool thing. Cause it's like, right. It's like every like country is like represented in like a different aspect, like corner of it.
Let's be wary of saying every country. there is certainly a smattering of countries that have a version of representation.
Disney approved, Walt signed off.
Yeah.
No. Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds great. I need to do some theme park runs. It's been a while. I used to do Halloween Horror Nights. Every Halloween, I did go to Universal with my family 2 years ago, and I had never just done the normal park. I always ever did Halloween Horror Nights, and that was honestly Harry Potter ride, kind of cool.
Oh, the like one where you're in front of the little bulbs and it's like 3D-ish?
Yeah, and they have it's a chair of four people on an arm, and they just kind of take you and do this through all these screens and stuff. I am taking my arm and like swinging it around at all these different angles.
I haven't seen the Mario World yet.
I know.
Oh, that, yeah.
I might like be going. You guys got to do a little podcast. It feels sort of in the vein.
We should, we should take a recorder and like go into.
Do the day at Mario World. Just us in line waiting to like hit a one
it's
up block.
It's mostly lines. And I
get a question block burger or whatever, mushroom burger.
Well, if you go like during, I'm saying the school year because like there won't be. Like if you go during the week, I should say.
Yeah, you gotta,
So like August, September, we can go do that. Yeah.
I'm in. Let's do it.
All right.
Hey, you just got us a great trip.
Look, I'm nothing if not a content machine.
This is good. We need more content. You don't understand. All right, Nestor is having a Link's Awakening adventure. He washes up on Koholint, and the owl from Nestor's Adventures, or I'm sorry, Link's Awakening is there. It's not an owl, is it? It's some other kind of bird. Anyways, the basic structure of this one is an inversion of the Nestor's Adventure standard trope, which is that Nestor is annoying and is piloting something he crashes, usually a plane or a spacecraft. In this one, he's not the annoying one. The bird is. I don't know, man. He does Link's adventure stuff with a sword, and the bird's trying to give him advice, and eventually he starts threatening the bird.
Yep. Yeah, I just want to skip it. If I'm being honest, I don't even want to talk about it.
We talked about, so in the past, we've, as an alternative, done like this week's Garfield comics, like one of the Sunday ones. We talked about this before we were recording. Do you want to just go do an Akewood from August of like 2003 and see what it is?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
What if we do a good comic is the pitch?
Sure. I love Akewood.
Let's go fucking. All right.
So what would be
Akewood August 2003?
I've been for years wanting to just get one of the Akewood books because like I only see them like populate on social media. And I'm like, this makes me laugh. I love this little thing.
It's one of the webcomics. So I read a lot of webcomics in the early 2000s, but it was more of some of it was the video game ones, some of which is aged very poorly, but some of which I think is still pretty funny. I mean, I do have all of the panels of Lost framed on my wall.
That's classic. I've never read this comic before. I'm a little out of the world of webcomics. Are they still making these?
Akewood is still around, I think.
I think he took a break and then recently is like re-stepping
back in.
Yeah. I know this culture.
Webcomics are a weird one too, because the old business of how you actually made money doing it is completely gone.
What was the old business?
You had a website people actually visited, you sold merch, and there's like versions of that now, but now nobody goes to your website.
Yeah.
You have to post them on social media, which has changed how webcomics look. So instead of this, like Akewood is a two-row comic, which is similar to like Bob the Angry Flower, and a bunch of comics from this era use that. Or to be a single side-by-side, like a three-panel strip, which is what Penny Arcade did. Well, now you need something that you can break up into panels on Instagram. So you just panel, 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 panel. So they all have to be the same size, like square, slightly rectangular. And they have to be sequential like that. So like Adam Tots and I could go on. I'm going to start a webcomic podcast, mark my words. We're going to do it.
Okay. That was kind of like a little, is it normally like a real trip?
I will say it's, I thought you were going to read it aloud. You were going to read it aloud because they can't hear this.
Well, we need to read it so we can talk about it, and we'll talk people through it.
Oh, got it.
Okay. So basically what happens is he's a bear cooking and he's like, oh, this pan's dirty. He looks at it. He's like, oh, there's little coconut shavings, and he looks closer and there it's worms. And he's like, oh, fuck. Then he looks around, there's worms everywhere. Then he looks above his stove, and he had left a mouse trap there. And there was a dead mouse and a bunch of, like, maggots around the mouse. And that's the story. So there's turns and twists. Is that pretty on par with you remember this being? Is that...
Yeah, this is what we get for doing... Yeah, is this like how you remember Akewood?
In my mind, Akewood is hard funnier. It's, like, funnier, but I guess, like, the joke is, like... A lot of the humor comes from the weird phrasing of things.
Yes.
Like okay. The funnier character is the one dog bear who has sunglasses because he's a weirdo. This just feels like a gross thing. Like this feels like what we were talking about before about our bug experiences. Yeah. I did have this is another gross bug experience. This is like literally 2 days ago. My roommate has a little bag of like the Hershey's, like the nuggets, like with the whatever almonds in it or whatever. And I was like craving something sweet. So I snagged one.
Oh no.
And like after I ate it, I noticed in the wrapper there was like a maggot and I'd already chewed and swallowed it. And I was like really cringy about it. So this is kind of identical, I guess. I hate maggots.
This is not super funny, but I think it's an extremely good comic.
It had twists and turns.
It's excellently written, and it does. It takes you on a journey, and the reveal is gross. And a comic that has the balls to just be really serious are like disturbing when normally it's not. I appreciate. I don't know how I feel about doing like actually good comics for this segment. I don't like it. I feel like we need to do something worse because all I have to say is like, yeah, that was great.
Bravo. I mean, I didn't love it. To be clear, it doesn't.
Hey, you're listening to the Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast.
Are you ready?
This is the Beer Break brought to you by Howard and Nestor.
Hey, I'm Nestor. Glub up that beer, my friend.
Here we go!
Hey, what's up? It's me, Weston, from the Now You're Playing With Podcast. We're advertising on our own show. Hey, you should stick around till after the credits. Brett's going to tell us all about his business trips, and we're going to set it to the Jurassic Park NES World 1-1 theme. It's going to be great.
Bam.
All right, let's get back to the guys.
And we're back. Brett and George want to do another comic, I guess, because the Akewood Maggot comic didn't do it for you. And they actually want to do one of the old comics that I drew 22 years ago.
Yeah. So this is Bobby, Jim, Mike?
Bob, Jimmy, and Mike.
DJ.
That Weston wrote for his underground newspaper in high school.
Now, this is what I did instead of listening in class as I drew these comics.
This is from May 20th, 2001. So it's pre-9/11. Just note that. You can internally note that.
Yeah.
And it's called Behind the Jugs, which saying it out loud does suggest it's going to be a lot hornier than it is.
That's the joke.
Oh, is that really the joke?
Yes.
Oh, that's so funny. Because where it goes.
I love, because you bring up every joke. You're like, it kind of sounds like a joke.
Oh, that's funny. That's sort of like, this is sort of uncharacteristic of regular people. Oh, that's what was intended?
A jug band? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, the conceit is that Bob, Jimmy, and Mike, three roommates in Austin, Texas, they decide they want to make a jug-based cover band called Jug Love, which... Yeah.
That's very fun.
In retrospect, the joke, as I suppose, is clearer. Jimmy is doing it wrong. One of them cares about like sort of a music doc situation of like, you've changed, man. It used to be about the music. And then Jimmy quits in sort of the vein of like the Beatles. And then
he denies the allegations and leaves with his groupies,
his Yoko Ono equivalents, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He's all dressed up. He's got a cool cowboy hat.
Wait, he's got kind of a pimp suit.
And now that he's rich, he has $1 million underwear. And then the magazine, the title says, "I like my ass." I like that. I like that little attention to detail.
I just caught that. And a thing that Weston brought up over the break was like, oh, this feels like tame enough to be in the school newspaper. And then you do catch those.
Yeah, this is a little bit of naughtiness in the background.
Yeah. And in the foreground, definitely. It is called Behind the Jugs and Jug Love.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to see why this wasn't allowed.
They got a moonshine jug with three X's on it. That's definitely alcohol, not really school appropriate.
That one I think is fine because it's like Disney used to like do that. Like,
yeah, it's like
it's a bottle with a skull and crossbones on it. Yeah. So you know it's poison.
It's a bottle with three X's on it. So I think it's porn in that bottle.
pour me a glass of that porn.
He's drinking porn.
Yeah, this was so this showed up in my Facebook feed or like Time Hop or something like that. And I was just like, oh, yeah, this is one of the good ones that I actually finished. Although there's still definitely some like unfinished things in the comic. I was amused that like 17-year-old me I was able to depict a recording studio with just the microphone and like the window to the other side of the booth. And it's like, oh, that actually, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Nice 17-year-old me. Like the wall panels, which in hindsight look more like a padded room in an insane asylum, but whatever.
Because it is a good comic, I think I fear we're falling same into the Aquid thing. I don't know. It's like I could hyper scrutinize it, but then I'm like, why am I just being mean to 17-year-old Weston? Why am I just bullying him?
Next time we can do one of the Bob, Jimmy, Mike ones where I'm sad about a girl. How about that?
Damn. Oh, why didn't we do that one? Because
I saw those and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
Well. Jug Love's fun.
Jug Love, you can, no one can find this comic anywhere. It's not, the website's not online anymore.
I'm going to leak it.
That's fine. Goof Troop movie. Goofy movie. A goofy movie is important.
Yeah, it's going to ask, the only thing I was questioning is like, do you have like a lot of nostalgia for the Goofy movie? I feel like a lot of people do.
Weirdly, yeah. The Goofy movie was a big deal.
I'm like Goofy movie neutral. I think I never got along with like movies where like the kid is mean to their dad.
Oh, I love that stuff.
I think like Goofy is just trying his best.
Yeah.
he is. I think the appeal of the Goofy movie is especially the opening and the ending. So you have Powerline, you have like the Prince alike pop star character that Max is imitating up top, and his crush on Roxanne.
Sure.
And it's less about the wacky adventure they go on and more about like there's something about like teenage goofy lifestyle stuff that's really appealing.
Yeah, like the pang of normalcy. I do love that meme of it's like it's Max Goof and like Roxanne in the messy room and like it's him be like, damn girl, you live like this.
Yeah, I still have not watched the Goofy movie episode of Atlanta. I need to watch that. Have you guys seen that?
No.
There's a whole movie, like, Goofy movie's important culturally. I promise.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right, well, you know, it's not important. Goof Troop. Get Goof Troop out of here.
Let's, this game is all right.
Okay.
That.
Okay, so we're at the Star Fox comic.
Like, Star Fox.
The last volume, they like kind of like defeated the main bad guy, and it was like this kind of like anticlimactic. We're skipping an issue. Oh fuck. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Why there's this big time jump? I'm like, okay, we skipped it.
Here, I'll take it for the
end. That's a good point.
So in volume 50, they surprised us by continuing the story, even though it seemed like it was over, and it ended up with Slippy gets kidnapped by a bad guy, and then everyone's trapped in space with no fuel because their mechanics betrayed them because they were lizards. So they're all in space getting attacked by space stingrays.
Yeah. Once again, the art's awesome.
It's really good.
I have a thing that I really like. I really like space animals or like any, like
I got a comic
big
for
old
you.
Animal that's flying through space. I fucking love that shit.
Did you like Avatar?
Yeah, I did, but
I didn't see it.
Yeah. That's more water based.
Yeah, but water is kind of like space.
It is.
Yeah, and that's a different planet. Yeah. Which is sort of why I ask it.
You have to go through space to get
to
the planet.
You have to go through space to get there. Right. Like anything that isn't on Earth.
Everyone
is
who's there has gone through space at some point.
Right.
So it's like space adjacent.
Yeah, a space in.
All right, so they're getting attacked by the stingrays, and they find out there's antennas on the stingrays controlling them. So they shoot all the antennas off, and the stingrays are chill and go on their way.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, Andros probably did that. And then a giant rainbow hole opens in space.
Yep.
Hell yeah. And then we flip over to what's happening to Slippy, and Slippy is crucified on a he's like chained to an X thing. And he meets Andros, who, I mean, my first thought when you see Andros here is he looks like the bad guy general in Symbionic Titan, but nobody knows what that show is because it came and went like in 2009.
I think more people know who Andros looks like. More people just know Andros from Star Fox.
Andros. I mean, here he looks like a Planet of the Apes guy. Yeah, he looks like Dr. Zaius.
Big ape dude.
And he's like, I don't know. I'm back. I'm going to get my revenge. Cornaria in a military experiment blew up my parents, and that's why I went to their academy to betray them or something, and found all his lizard cronies. It was from when he was exiled, and there was an ancient civilization that blah 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 blah. Anyways, the important thing here is when they go back to Fox, the actual transition on the comic page is super super cool.
Yeah, okay, that's the part I liked. They zoomed into one eyeball of Slippy, and they zoom out of another eyeball, which is Fox, I think.
It looks amazing.
Super cool, right?
It's really, really great.
Need more eyeball transitions.
Super cool.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what they're seeing is out of the rainbow hole in space, there's a giant whale.
Sort of like Avatar, the thing you like.
Can't get enough. Beautiful 3D.
And the whale spits out fuel canisters to refill their ship. These like orange tubes. This is another thing like the Nova Bomb that just, I guess, visually got stuck into my head, where like this really long tube is how you refuel spaceships.
Yeah.
And then the whale starts talking to them, and it's revealed that it's an transdimensional manifestation of a starship, and Fox's dad is inside, to be continued.
Real cliffhanger.
I really like this episode. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it was a step up from some of the other ones. So, I like seeing like the little space. You get Andros's backstory.
Yeah.
We didn't mention that, but it's like apparently like his buddy got killed by the government, and that's why he's evil.
It's his android pig parent, foster parents.
His foster parents got killed by the government.
like
some vague experiment that they don't describe.
And honestly, if that's really what happened, Cornaria kind of sucks. That's really shitty.
Yeah.
I agree. The art is really cool. It's interesting, again, from my perspective, just hopping in.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know about Fox and Falco only in, like, I never played any of the Star Fox game, but I played like Smash.
Yeah.
And so I know about those guys. And I do, I actually do know about Slippy because he's a trophy you can get in Smash, and he's a frog. But I don't know about any of this other stuff. So like the canon is sort of lost on me, and it's like weirdly sensory overload.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it almost feels like bordering on parody to end with father, But it is cool. The art's cool. And I'm not going to, like, look, we're another good comic. Really great comics day.
I think part of the appeal of this one is this Star Fox comic from the beginning has had this, like, the art style is kind of Mobius inspired. So it's like heavy metal, like kind of French science fiction-y, like looking stuff. And I think it's at its best when it stops giving a shit about the Star Fox story, which, let's be honest, is not profound.
Yeah.
And just hangs out in a world where it's a bunch of animals in space. And because the more they
do that, man.
It just fucking rules.
Yeah.
Like, the weirder it gets, the more I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And it's also like, are you allowed to just like something because it looks good? Like, the Mario movie was fun to look at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just enjoy it for that reason?
That's the whole, right? Your favorite movie, Avatar, is the whole principle is that it's fun to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay.
If I had a nickel for all the time Brett brought up Avatar the Way of Water.
We should have an Avatar bonus episode.
We should. That'll give me an excuse to watch the movie finally. I'm way behind.
It's on streaming now, I think.
You gotta see it.
Got no excuse. Yeah, you gotta go to theater.
You should do that. No, you gotta watch it on your phone or laptop.
Watch it on your 3DS.
There is something about anthropomorphic animals doing human things. And this is like, I think I've said before on the podcast, I really like Lackadaisy, the pilot they did, which is based on another webcomic, which is cats in St. Louis in the 1920s running a speakeasy.
Yeah.
It's so fucking great.
Are you guys like furry people?
Not yet, but my response to Lackadaisy, maybe. Maybe soon.
You're a Beastars guy or whatever.
What is it, Beastars?
Beastars is like, it's like basically a furry anime. It is built for that. It's on Netflix. I haven't watched it.
Oh,
it's
really?
Just sort of like part of the dialogue. I'm not a furry. I want to emphasize that. No shame.
I blocked it.
I'm not in the business of yucking yums. Yeah, I blocked it. I thought, this is a sin.
I sent a letter to Netflix.
This is an affront against God.
I follow J. Michael Straczynski on Twitter. He's the writer who created 90s sci-fi show Babylon 5, but also wrote iconic runs on like the Thor comic series for Marvel and a bunch of other stuff. Somebody invited him to be a guest of honor at a furry convention. He was like, hard no. He's like, that'll never happen.
Damn.
Poor furries. They just can't catch a break. They all seem nice.
Yeah.
They're very inclusive, probably.
All right. Any of us could be a furry. Who knows? Someone here is lying.
I remove my human helmet to reveal that I have a... I'm wearing a furry dog outfit.
Under
my human mask.
I don't know why. I feel like we talk about furry a lot in this five, even past this.
I think a big
point. We Sonic porn. we constantly talk about Sonic porn.
Video games are so, they're one of the on-ramps to becoming a furry, I think, because like cartoons,
Sonic.
You have, I mean, we got there because we started talking about Goof Troop.
Yeah.
Which gets you to a Goofy movie, which gets you to, you know, Roxanne and Max and like all those characters. And then it's just like, there's an on-ramp to a freeway that goes directly to just like a giant smiling, like fuzzy dog face that a human can wear.
I think the taboo of it, I believe, is because there's this implication that it's horny, that it's inherently sexual. Because I don't know otherwise why you want to play pretend to that degree, why you want to be a mascot. Like, I've never met a furry, and I think I would love to have a sit down.
Yeah.
Not in like a bullying way, like an earnest curiosity.
Well, like, I mean, I feel like I've got similar stuff. I think it's like,
well, we've talked a lot about the horniness of Sonic comics and stuff, which is definitely, there's something prepubescent, like that tween era energy that's like,
is it a way to like
child cartoons plus my body is changing equals
to be clear, I'm not a furry.
Okay. And it would be fine if you were.
Yeah,
but I think
it'd be awesome because then I'd have questions.
We could get them answered right now.
But I definitely understand it. I definitely am adjacent enough where I'm like, I get it. I get that path. I get that, like, you liked a thing as a kid and it was slightly horny sometimes when you watched it, and now that's your thing. And that's that, right?
I think Gen X doesn't get it because they grew up with like He-Man, which is horny, but not in a confounding way.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like, oh, it's just a bunch of, you know, it's like Conan the Barbarian with like some space shit and terrible sound effects because, you know, it's a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. And G.I. Joe is like sexless in a way that's kind of frustrating. Like I... Cobra Commander could, like, you could have a whole convention dedicated to people dressed like Cobra Commander with mirror faces.
I'm picturing if you got drafted for the army and your big complaint is that it's like, why am I, I'm having a lot fewer boners than I thought I was going to get. And all the ones I'm getting are not the ones I'm expecting.
I would love to be part of a hypersexualized army.
Go on. I'd rise those ranks quick.
I want to see them. We're actually at a new segment, if you could believe that. They have this, and this is like way, honestly, this is the opposite of what we're talking about because it's about business and game dev. Unfortunately, this is called The Name of the Game. This is a write-up that attempts to explain how you end up with different games with the same name on different Nintendo platforms. It's a really interesting look at the business at this time. Again, it's not horny. There's no cartoon, hot cartoon character.
Not a lot of pizzazz.
Cartoon animals in this, yeah. But like, just stick with me for a second.
Okay.
we're losing the audience.
Yeah, it's just... All right, I promise we'll move on. And
I know.
Right after this is something that'll wet your whistle, if you know what I mean. Basically, they're just like, hey, look, it's a huge mess out there. And sometimes you end up with a developer that tries to make the game the same across, say, Game Boy and Nintendo. Sometimes it's a licensee and a publisher getting the rights to a cartoon or a movie or something. And they just farm out the development of the different games to different places. So it happens faster. So
there's like 20 Terminator games.
And they're all different. Yeah.
As I felt like this was just describing kind of trying to help out confused parents.
No kidding.
You know, like because there's all these games that have like, for example, there's this whole section that's like, hey, here's your games that have Super in their name, but they're not for the Super Nintendo.
And oh my
like,
God.
I get that. Like, that's honestly, I could see, I feel like if you're a parent, you're like, oh, the name says Super. This is going to work on my Super Nintendo.
The other thing that's interesting about this is it's very much a time capsule because licensed games are not as big a deal as they were even 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like they're just not. And when you do multi-platform games now, they're, I think, almost always the same game. Yeah. It's gotten to the point where you can put the same game out, even on Switch, if it's on like PS5 and Xbox, you can do a stripped-down version that's still the same game running the same engine.
Yeah.
Like Witcher 3
yeah.
can run on Switch somehow.
Yeah.
And it's still, can you imagine if it's a completely different game? So, I don't know. It's again, it's not horny. There's no cartoon anthropomorphized animals, but all right, let's move on.
This is one of my skips, the Speedy Gonzales.
All right, this is one of your skips?
As promised, yeah, Speedy Gonzales
we've
is
talked
next.
About, we've talked about Speedy. It kind of looks like an off-brand Sonic, though, which looks kind of cool.
You don't know who Speedy Gonzales is?
I do. He's like a fast-talking rat dude, right? That's
it's an iconic Looney Tunes character
and yeah. problematic.
I read about this and my memory of him also was problematic, but I guess in the early 2000s, Cartoon Network pulled the cartoons and a bunch of Hispanic groups reached out and said, hey, we love Speedy. He means a lot to us. Put him back on.
Oh, okay.
So that was my memory too, though. 100%. So
that's interesting. I always like that as he has a cousin named Slowpoke Rodriguez.
And the Hispanic community did not reach out about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's part of the canon.
That was the problematic part, right, though? Because, like, it's Speedy is, like, fast and smart and always wins. But, like, all of his mouse buddies are lazy. And that was kind of the stereotype.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, like, so Speedy himself is beloved.
Are there other Looney Tunes, like, characters that are like kind of like problematic, like I guess like has anyone else been dropped?
Those World War II Looney Tunes cartoons have some pretty have some pretty rough characterizations of our enemies in that war.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Especially some of the Japanese
ones. I would say specifically the Japanese ones. The Hitler ones, I guess you're allowed to propaganda.
Won't somebody think of the Hitlers?
Yeah, who's Hitler Lives Matter. I don't know. Maybe there's people are concerned about Foghorn Leghorn, maybe. But I don't know. He's just Southern.
As a Southern hick. No, I think Foghorn's fine. The further back you go into animation, you can find, first of all, old cartoons from the 20s and 30s are really rapey in a way that's kind of shocking. The old Betty Boop cartoons.
Honestly, a lot of stuff from the 20s, 30s, I feel like a lot of old TV is.
Oh, yeah. Pepe Le Pew's been pulled.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because of how he treats women.
Yeah.
He doesn't take no for an answer. Not a good role model.
Oh, man. Okay, I just want to say that there's a game called 4-in-1 Fun Pack Volume 2. I don't have anything else to say, but that's the name of a video game.
Yeah, they should have just put more games in Volume 1.
Finally, a way to play solitaire. We can be glib about it because everything plays solitaire now, but I guess at the time, portable solitaire was a deck of cards.
All right. I could actually skip this.
No, hey, wait. All right, we're at Jurassic Park on the NES. The game itself is whatever. This game, pretty great soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about it.
And yeah. I wanted to queue up. So what's the name of the guy who... Jonathan Dunn.
Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg. Senior Spielbergo. Let's see here. We can queue up some Jurassic Park on the iPad here. So this is the menu music.
It's kind of slaps.
It kind of fucking rules.
I kind of feel like I'm driving a cyber car.
Yeah, the car bounces on the beat.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
It is not, I will say, as if I'm being a hater, it doesn't scream dinosaur.
No, it's
not. No, that's kind of,
unless the dinosaurs have sunglasses on.
And right, the dinosaurs are in the car.
dinosaurs that surf.
Right. It's sort of giving We're Back.
Yes. Which is a Super Nintendo game and is terrible. This is just, it's just really clean, good NES synth music.
I watched the movie Fantastic Planet just the other day. It's a 70s French animation movie. It's beautiful.
It's the blue people, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The soundtrack to that is the score is very contemporary, very cool.
When was that movie made?
1973.
Yeah, it feels so weirdly modern. It's such an art piece.
Yeah, it's so arty. Yeah.
What we should do, since we're running low on time for George, is maybe we can come back and do the beer break will be you talking about traveling selling buttons to one of the other songs from the soundtrack. What do you think?
I'm in for that.
Dude, this menu music is better than most of the other music in the game, except for level one. All right.
I would love to see the corporate room of all right, well, doesn't have to do with dinosaurs, but it's a fucking good song. We're putting it in.
But that's the Batman NES game is the same because that Batman game has almost nothing to do with Batman. But that music is great. Yeah. It's some of the best music on the whole system.
You're looking confused. The game has a lot of that where there's a lot of games that are really bad but have really good music is a weird thing at the Game Boy, right?
I was just looking confused because I do think that's true and I was trying to rattle my brain. There's plenty of things where it's content-wise, this is uninteresting, but then the score goes hard for no reason. And I was trying to rattle my brain for what things they are, and I couldn't think of an example. And I guess I was showing it in my face. and now I'm making for uninteresting fodder.
Okay, top 20. I'm gonna go super fast.
All right,
Super NES. The top three games are Super Zelda.
Super Zelda.
Super Zelda. Super Street Fighter. Super Star Fox.
All right.
I have one thing to say on this page, and it is the drawing of this
oh my god
fiend coming out of a Game Boy trying to allure a guy protecting his Game Boy.
You know why? He's wearing too much denim.
Yeah.
He's got a denim jacket and jeans.
Yeah, I don't really like understand the story of this picture.
Because it kind of makes the video game unappealing.
Oh, he has a Link cable. He wants to play Game Boy with this kid.
Oh, it's like trying to link up avatars.
This anthropomorphic fecal matter who speaks in curse words, it seems.
He's threatening to do a bunch of Tetrises on him. Game Boy top three. Super Metroid 2, Return of Samus, Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. George, right. Can you take us home on the NES?
Yeah, Super Mega Man 5, Super The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Bros. 3.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is some good shit. Okay, we actually do need to talk about this.
Player pull contest.
This contest is insane.
Okay, there's an Alien 3 contest, and you can win a life-size, like, it looks like a wax like sculpture of the alien. That's
no,
like
no, you get
a 7 foot tall.
Oh, it is. Oh my god!
Yeah, you
you're
get
right.
A gigantic 7 foot tall alien statue, awesome. And also the cryo
Ripley's cryotube from the start of the movie.
Yeah,
but you haven't seen Alien 3.
No.
But like you know, in the original Alien, they all sleep in the tubes for the space trip and then wake up to get aliened.
I remember the tubes.
Wait, so it's full size. Like you could sleep in that too.
Yeah.
It's the actual prop from the movie.
Like I think if you were like, you could totally turn that into a bed or like a cool couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried so hard to find online who fucking got this. I can't.
Damn.
It's not like the Bill and Ted phone booth. Oh my God.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't want to know the stories.
I feel like it's got to be in like a basement or a junkyard. Like no way people like it's interesting for a little. And then like to publicly display it, I feel like it's low mileage.
I slept in it for a couple of months and then I just got bored.
Well, that's why I was like, if
it's not that comfortable.
I feel like the person who got it. Yeah, and it's probably like gross.
Yeah,
I feel like it's like gross.
It's covered in movie goo.
Yeah, it's like movie goo and I don't know.
And then I guess to wrap things up, we just have the Pack Watch. Whatever, I guess the big thing is they have a CES write-up, but Nintendo Power does this thing where rather than giving actual previews, they just list a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at all of the red text in the Pack Watch CES write-up, which is like, how many pages is this? Four? It's just a block of text with like 200 games mentioned and with no specifics given to any of them.
I think they just kind of were like, no one's reading this. We don't need to like actually write up an article here.
You could argue the majority of this magazine is like that.
I would love if I actually read it. It's not even real words. It's like
it's a test.
Yeah. All right.
We made it.
Okay, we did it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, George.
Oh my God, thank you guys for having me back. I do Thanks. Love being on this. I always learn something new.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. We do, if you have like a couple of minutes, we could do the thing we talked about. Brett,
okay. Damn. Can we save it?
Do you want to save it?
I think save it, yes, because I want to commit full time to this segment, I think.
Okay. Okay, great.
And I think if anything, this A, promises I'm invited back, and B, it's a great tease.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this into the podcast. This is great.
Wait, does Brett know what it is?
I don't know what it is.
He doesn't know what it is.
I keep it a secret. I want it to.
Oh, it should be. Okay. It should be a secret. Yeah,
it's a secret. You won't find out.
Oh,
and
man.
Neither will the listener.
I know, but oh my God, they're going to love when they find out what it is. It's really worth it.
Man, this is a fucking cliffhanger here.
All right. Well, I guess that's the show.
Well, I guess we ended on a cliffhanger here. George, I guess, do you have anything to plug or like anything to?
Yeah.
You can follow my food Instagram where I talk about pop-ups that I do.
Which if you're in the LA area, you absolutely should.
They
or
happen.
Even in general.
It's food, the word George Saba, my name, GeorgeSSaba. And I post stuff there. That's really the main social media I'm using lately. Or you can follow me on Letterboxd, George Saba, GeorgeSSaba. You can read the, I gave a review of, what's it called? Charlie Wilson's War earlier in this podcast. That is more or less verbatim my review on Letterboxd.
I really don't ever go on Letterboxd, and I should probably start because last time you were on, we talked about because we were rating like pretentious rating services.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love Letterboxd. I maintain it. And I'll say that every time I'm on.
I'm impressed that it's still good. Like, I'm impressed that it hasn't, like,
oh yeah, it hasn't
ruined.
It hasn't sullied. Yeah.
Yeah. They've ruined it.
It's one of the things that throws me about talking to game devs is they do not like the level of pretension that you get out of like film and TV nerds is just not there to the same degree.
But I think it will be.
Yeah, give it like 50 well, years. Yeah.
As soon as people start respecting video games.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the time.
The Now You're Playing with Podcast is brought to you by the Podcast Power Players Power Team. Music by Games Cameron. Find back episodes, send us emails, and do cool stuff at our website, nowyourplaying.com. It's your with an E, because we know how to do grammar.
Damn. Yeah, that's good shit. All right.
As promised, Brett, tell us what it's like to sell buttons internationally.
Welcome to the world of button sales. You're surprised that you're traveling at all. And you're going to New York, you're going to Paris, you're going
business
to Vancouver,
trips.
Doing little business trips. And, you know, it's probably pretty similar. You're just kind of like standing in a booth, showing people buttons. People, they need buttons, and you're just like, hey, you want brown buttons? Look over here. You want natural shell buttons? Look over here.
Are people in the fashion industry as schnazzy as they are in movies, like Devil Wears Prada?
Maybe not, honestly. I feel like it's a lot of people are dressed down. And actually, you know what's crazy? Actually, it tends to be, I've noticed, that the people who are more dressed down tend to be the people who work for the better companies. If someone's like really dressed up, they're often not working for the best company.
Interesting.
So it tends to be the people who are really low-key end up becoming like that's the nice, juicy customer.
Yeah, but they're like wearing like jeans and t-shirts that fit.
Yeah, totally.
And they have cool shoes.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely a level of like... Like, they're not dressed badly, but they're not, like, blowing up the city with their... Like, because this is all very internal. These are internal people.
Yeah, because they're, like, the production people figuring out stuff for design.
And the people who are working with those big companies, they got nothing to prove. And they're just, like, an eternal business person. So they're, you know, it's...
You call them an eternal business person? Like, they are and always will be?
They're just a cog... That's all they are. They're just a number on paper.
Do people throw parties at like these fashion shows? Somebody gets bottle service set up at some club because they're the big dogs.
There's
Calvin Klein personally buying everybody.
I think there are like for like the big companies, the big fancy brands. I think there are like these like little secret hangouts that a old humble button vendor like us, we're not getting invited to. But I think there's like secret meetings. There's a lot going on that I'm not invited to. I'm missing out.
I've done a lot of trade shows and schmoozing. So
yeah.
There's always like, hey, are you going to the such and such party? And it's like, no, I went 10 years ago. I'm not dating anybody that works there anymore. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And right. Yeah, you know, it's just lots of trade. Drinking a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee. A lot of working hungover because of...
No,
trade show stuff.
No one on the sales tail really drinks. I'm kind of like whenever we go out with the clients, I'm like the only one drinking.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Why do you think people don't drink in fashion? Are they watching their figure?
Oh no, just the button team that I'm with. Trust me, there are the vast majority of people are alcoholics.
Okay. In fashion, or are you just saying in general?
In general, honestly.